Welcome to an Impact Ministries production, brought to you by Impact Ministries World Changers, changing the way the world sees God. Learn how you can become a world changer today by visiting www.impactministries.com. Now, here's your host, founder of Impact Ministries and developer of Heart Physics, the self-development programs that have changed thousands of lives around the world, Dr. Jim Richards.
You know, the goal of this series is to help you come to the place to be immovable when you're stepping out to trust God, when you're trying to move into some new area, when you're wanting to expand the capacity of your heart. I want you to be able to approach those kinds of situations, be fearless, be immovable, have absolute confidence, and avoid any possibility of wavering. You know, when you talk about wavering, so many people make it legalistic, so many people make it condemning, but we're going to look at wavering and how that comes to be. We're going to look at what makes us immovable. And really, today's message is about becoming immovable. You are going to learn how to overcome those issues that cause you to waver whenever you're attempting to walk in faith. And I promise you, this isn't going to be a bunch of legalistic, religious, mystic stuff like you've heard in the past. This is going to be biblically based reality. You're going to enjoy this. It's going to contribute to your life. I've got great news for you. You can pre-order my book, Apocalypse, A Spiritual Guide for the Second Coming of Jesus, and you can get a special deal in this hardback 300-page book, $24.99, plus a $149 eschatology course. You know, today we're going to be talking about becoming immovable. And I don't even know what you think about when you hear that kind of phrase, but man, I think about peace. I think about confidence. And you know, in situations that I have been in where I have had to step into a role that required the miraculous, that required something beyond my ability, beyond my strength, I want to be able to step in those situations and not be hoping, guessing, maybeing, wishing. You know, I don't even want to go into it praying, trying to get to the place to where I'm immovable. I want to have the confidence where to speak the Word of God, to say what God says, and have absolute assurance that it's going to happen just the way I speak it. And, you know, that's really what Jesus was talking about in Mark 11. And we kind of over-spiritualized that and we made that kind of far out. But that's what he's talking about speaking to this mountain and not wavering, not moving, believing in your heart. But before we get too far in this, so, you know, let's talk about some misconceptions of faith. One of the greatest misconceptions of faith, which is a religious idea, is that faith is blind. Well, I want you to know faith is not blind. God is never requiring of you or expecting you to believe for something that you have not first perceived. In other words, in order to believe, you have to first perceive or you have to first see it in your heart. And that's really one of the laws of faith, the way God operates faith. And God's a faith God. Everything he did by faith. God sees or perceives the end from the beginning. And so for us, it's not just a matter of positive thinking. You know, there's a lot of people out there today that are taking biblical principles, and I'm not saying that these principles don't work, but it gets hard to kind of discern the difference between just positive thinking and something that's actually scripturally based. You know, a person who's just positive thinking, which there's nothing wrong with positive thinking, but a person who is just positive thinking, they're trying to create in their own mind a picture of what they want to have happen. And, you know, there is value to that. There's merit to that. That'll even work to some degree. But for us, we're not starting with just what we want to have happen. We're taking what we want to have happen and going back and looking at the cross of Christ and seeing if what we are desiring is something that has already been accomplished by Jesus. So it's not blind. We know for sure whether or not this is within the bounds of what God has offered to us or what God has promised to us. We're never, never, never going into faith blind. You know, a second thing is that I want you to understand that faith is not just a religious concept. Faith is a concept that works for everybody. Everybody really operates in the realm of faith. And to a certain degree, everybody is living right now the quality of life that they have believed in their heart. Now, they might have believed something else in their mind, but I can promise you this, in their heart, we are all living a quality of life that is the equal to how we see ourselves. It is the equal to what we feel like we deserve deep in our heart. Not in our mind, not in our theology, not in our doctrine, but in the way we see and experience ourselves. But we got so many religious misconceptions and twisted ideas about faith that we really zeroed in, got some parts right, but we really left out some really missing pieces. And, you know, that's why this month's series is called Faith, the Missing Pieces, because there are some pieces that are missing, some crucial pieces that are missing, that whenever they become a factor, suddenly it all changes. You know, one of the questions that I've always had is why did the things that at one point in my life, why did they work inconsistently? You know, one of the things that I've always been a stickler for is that if something is truth, it should produce a consistent outcome or a predictable outcome. You know, many of you know that, you know, I have a doctorate degree in alternative medicine. For years, when I experimented with different medical approaches or different healthcare approaches, one of the problems that I had was there would be theories that would come out that would work occasionally, but the truth is they were not predictable. And I wanted something that had predictable results. Now, see, religion and mysticism gets you into this idea that God is not predictable. I want you to know that that is a Luciferian lie. God is absolutely predictable. God is absolutely consistent. There's never chaos. He never changes. And, you know, there are things that God does that's beyond our knowing. But within the scope of what we need to know to live this life, God is absolutely predictable. And so that means that if there's inconsistency in results, the inconsistency lies with what I believe in my heart. Now, I'm not putting myself down, I'm not putting you down, but I'm just saying, you know something, if it's between me being wrong, God being wrong, it's going to be me. If it's between God being inconsistent and me being inconsistent, it's going to be me. And you know what? There is nothing that destroys your faith like inconsistent results. Man, you go out and you have something happen and it works and it goes like it's supposed to, and man, you're confident and you're excited, and then you step out again and you're trusting God and you're bold, and bam, you fall flat on your face, and it's just like, what in the world? What's going on here? Why is this not working? And you feel frustrated, you feel confused, you feel let down, you feel like you can't trust God. I don't know of anything that will mess you up more than inconsistent results when you're attempting to believe and attempting to walk into the truth. Well, I want to tell you, usually inconsistent results means that those times that you got results, you were operating in God's truth and God's principles in some areas that you never identified, that when you came back this time, you weren't operating those same areas. And sometimes, you know, sometimes we'll create formulas. I remember one time I was in Bible college, this was in my undergraduate work, and man, every day I would listen to my favorite, you know, preacher driving to school, and a lot of times at break, a lot of us would run out and listen to a particular preacher that we really enjoyed. And, you know, I mean, we were just all excited about God and this sort of thing. So one day I'm listening to one of these guys, and he's telling about the process that he went through to get a miracle in his life, to experience a miracle. So he was telling about this man. I was in awe. I was like, oh my goodness, this is so incredible. But the most amazing thing is I was sitting there just thinking how cool this was that this guy got this thing figured out. I'll never forget, the Lord spoke to me and he in my heart and said, that's not what really happened. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. This is a person that knows you. This is a person that you're using mightily all over the world, you know? And the Lord spoke and he said, he's describing what happened on the outside. He's not really describing and connecting with what really happened on the inside. I want to tell you something. Until we get to the place where we understand that faith is a matter of the heart and we always approach faith from the heart, then we will always have inconsistent results because we will put together some formula. We'll put together some way of trying to connect the dots that leaves out the essential aspects of the heart. And with me, you know that everything about me and God has to happen in my heart. It happened in my mind is not what the Bible says. It's got to happen in my heart. So if I'm going to believe, and I'm going to believe unto something that brings about the miraculous, if I'm going to believe unto something that causes transformation to flow freely through me, then it's got to happen in my heart, not just in my mind. In these programs, these broadcasts this month, as well as in the series that we have for you, that's the thing. We want to get you to consistently operate God's kind of faith in your heart. And I'm telling you what, as this begins to happen, you find yourself living in the realm of faith, more like a noun, a state of being, than in believing, which is a verb, where you're trying to believe, where you're having to actively put yourself into believing. And that's where we want to live. We want to live in that place where it just happens. This is who we are. We know who God is. We've got peace in our heart. You know, the Bible says in one place, in quietness and confidence shall be your strength. And that's what happens when you really believe the truth in your heart. You're not going to be pleading, praying, screaming, binding, loosing. In your heart, you're going to discover this quietness and this confidence because you are absolutely immovable about the end result. Listen, I'll be back with some more great news about this in a minute. You don't want to miss the rest of this. Faith of Missing Pieces is a 6-CD series that's going to teach you how to gather evidence for the supernatural, how to fully persuade your heart for all the promises of God, how to end all of your wavering and develop this capacity to perceive the invisible. It's going to help you master the 5 simple steps of the God kind of faith and expand your heart's capacity for the miraculous. This is a series that every serious believer that wants to walk by faith and live by faith needs to listen to. You'll use it over and over again for a life of the miraculous. You know, one of the most important statements that Jesus ever made about all of our struggles with God, he said that through our traditions, we would make the Word of God of no effect. Now, what is he talking about there? He's saying that we have cultural things, religious things, or our own ideologies that have become a part of our tradition. They become a part of the way we think. They become a part of our paradigm of life. And these things are so powerful that we twist the Word of God to fit our perception, or we interpret the Word of God to fit what we need for it to fit so that we're not violating our culture, violating who we see ourselves to be. And in this thing about operating faith, man, we have just been hammered with this concept of faith being only about the ability to get things that we have lost touch with. Faith first and foremost is what we believe in our heart about God, what we believe about His character and His motive. Why does He do what He does? And do I believe it so strongly that even when I see something that seems to contradict with the motive of love, do I trust God enough to say, you know what, I'm just not seeing this as it is? And when we get to that place, then we're at the place where we are ready to face life's challenges and operate faith in specific situations or for specific things that have been provided for us. But if we don't settle the issue of God's character and God's motive first, and if we don't settle the individual or the personal trust issue between us and God, then we will never come to a place where we are going to be stable, unwavering, immovable in the individual details of life that we're attempting to work through. You know, Hebrews 11:1 is just such an incredible scripture that shows us so much about faith. I'm going to read this to you, and then we'll come back and talk about it. Matter of fact, I'm probably going to read some other translations for you. It says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report." Now, one translation says it this way. The NIV says, "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see." The New Living Translation says it this way. Faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. Now, what I want to do is I want to begin to look at this in the original language and kind of break this out, and because this is one of the most clear, concise statements and descriptions of faith in the entire Bible. So this is the place that we've got to go to. You know, Mark 11, 23 and 24 explains the process of operating faith, of believing for something, but it's not an actual definition of faith. This is an actual definition of faith. Now, the word faith, as we have said before, faith is about trust. And of course, it starts with trust and confidence in the character and the motive of God. So first and foremost, that's where we're starting. So the word faith, it can be translated as a deep confidence. It can be translated as an assurance. But here's what we know about faith. Based on how it's used in the scripture, we know that when faith is present, there will not be wavering. Now you say, well, what exactly is wavering? Well, wavering is when internally we shift from one point of view to another point of view. You know, I'm going to get healed. I'm not going to get healed. Oh, yeah. I'm going to get healed. Oh, I'm not going. I don't know if I'm going to get healed. Wavering is where we shift internally because we are not sure. We don't have a deep conviction. We don't have a certainty. You know, we don't have that confidence. And so when that confidence is not there, we are going to shift from one opinion to the other. And usually we're going to shift from one opinion to the other because of our emotions. Now remember, emotions emerge because of where you focus your attention. And, you know, you go over and you look at the problem and you're starting to think about the problem and then fear comes up and then you start thinking about the outcome and suddenly your whole attention is focused on this negative, destructive outcome. And so, bam, suddenly now you can't hold on to the reality that healing is yours in Jesus. And let's say then maybe you go back and start reading the Word, praying and worshiping, connecting to God, and suddenly you kind of get back strong and stable there. So you're feeling sure again. But then something happens and you go back and you put your attention somewhere else. So as we shift our attention, then our emotions change. And as our emotions change, that's where the whole wavering concept is coming about. So when we're in faith, we're not wavering. We are immovable. We have an assurance. We have a deep conviction. So it says faith is the substance, or the deep conviction is the substance. The word substance is a word that can mean a foundation. It can mean a substructure. It can mean, actually the word title deed, a proof of ownership, is one of the common translations for this word substance here. In other words, if you went out and you bought some property and you were going to prove that you own that property and that it was yours, and somebody came and said, no, that's not your property, you would produce a deed. And that deed would be the proof of ownership. So one of the concepts here of the word substance, you know, being sure is the proof of ownership. So if you're not sure, then you don't have a deed. You can't lay claim to whatever it is that you're wanting to take hold of. But what's interesting is, again, this word has to do with creating a substructure, creating a substructure whereby a foundation is laid that something can be built upon it. This is really important. And as we go through this series, and of course, we go into more depth in the 6 CD series, but as we go through these programs, this is going to get clearer and clearer to you. So faith, the being sure, the absolute confidence, the unwavering trust in God is the foundation or the substructure of things hoped for. Now, when you look at this word things, the most important aspect of this word things is not just focusing on things that I want, things that I want to have happen, but this word for things in the Greek language, it means things that have previously been accomplished. So when we're talking about having faith for things here, we're not talking about, okay, I believe God's going to get me a new Cadillac. Okay, I believe that God's going to get me a new house. I believe, you know, all that kind of stuff. This is where we are looking back to the cross of Christ and determining what has already been established, what's already been accomplished through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. See, unfortunately, we look to the future in faith. We're trying to believe for something to happen in the future when in fact we need to be believing what has already happened in the past. You know, in the book of Matthew 18:18, it talks about binding and loosing. And unfortunately, we've made binding and loosing about chasing the devil and all this kind of stuff. And there's two different ways that binding and loosing are applied in the scripture. But in this particular context, it says, truly I tell you, whatever you forbid and declare to be improper and unlawful on earth must be what is already forbidden in heaven. And whatever you permit and declare to be proper and lawful on earth must be what is already permitted in heaven. In other words, binding and loosing, when we bind something, we are looking back and saying, what was bound at the cross? What was bound at the cross? The curse of the law. So when something happens in my life that is based on the curse of the law, most people are going to go back. They're going to look at the Old Testament. They're going Old Covenant. They're going to say, well, see, I did something wrong. And because I did something wrong, that I'm living under this curse. And I'll tell you, preachers will tell you that all day long. And you may have done something wrong. I'm not saying you didn't. You need to deal with it if you've done something wrong. But really, you need to stop that curse from coming into your life based on the fact that you're delivered from the curse of the law, Galatians 3:13. You are in Christ Jesus. The curse has no right to come upon you. So it's been bound in heaven. You got to bind it on earth. Same thing about being loose. You know, I need for something to happen in my life. I need health. I need energy. I need strength. Then I've got to go back and see, was that loose? Was that declared legal for me on the cross of Christ? Well, all the promises of God are yes and amen in Him. 2 Corinthians 1:20 tells us that. And so if it was loose at the cross, then this is where individual faith and individual authority comes in. I've got to make a choice to trust and believe for what God has done for me. So it's about things that have already been accomplished to the cross. So faith, the confidence, the assurance, the being sure, the knowing is the substance, the foundation, the substructure of things that have been accomplished. And it also talks about the fact that these are things that have been accomplished that I'm hoping for. Now, the word hope has to do with confident expectation. Hope is so essential to faith, because hope is really the precursor to faith. Hope is that thing where we have this confident expectation of it, and we know it should be ours, and we're looking to it in the forward, but we're basing that on our faith. So faith is a substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. Now, I'll tell you, next week we're going to get into this whole thing about evidence in a way that's going to blow your mind. You're not even going to be able to get your head around how important this one passage of Scripture, even this one phrase in Scripture is about evidence. Because like I said, faith is not blind. So faith, being sure, the deep confidence, is the substance, the proof of ownership, the foundation of things that have been accomplished that are being hoped for, that you confidently expect. So when we bring faith and hope together, then we come to that place where we're immovable. But the whole issue, or the big issue that we haven't resolved yet, is what do I do with the things I can see? What do I do with the evidence that tells me that this is not mine? What do I do with the evidence that says, no, really, this isn't yours yet, you're getting worse, you know, you're going to die, or you're never going to make it, or you're never going to succeed? What do I do with that? Well, you know what? Next week, we're going to talk all about that. But today, I really want to just take a few minutes at the end of the program in our mentoring moment. I want to talk to you about how you begin to move into that place where you are sure. You know, that's an incredible thing. It can't be argued with. It's not a doctrinal thing. It's not something anybody else can teach you. This is something that happens in your own heart. And when you become immovable in your own heart, then you know what you expect is going to come to pass. This month, I got a special free gift for you. It's called Abraham, the Father of Failure, and it shows you how men with the same struggles and same battles that you have overcame, and God still used them mightily. It's free for everybody. Go to www.impactministries.com. You know, you may not know it, but Impact International School of Ministry was a residential accredited Bible college for 27 years right here in Huntsville, Alabama. And we have raised up men and women who have been incredibly successful and effective in ministry and who have gone all over the world. We have raised up people who have been incredibly successful in business, because you know what? It takes the same principles to succeed at ministry as it does at business and as it does at life and as it does in a marriage. What we have found is our school ministry equips people for every aspect of life, not just the ministry. Well, you know what? Our school is designed primarily for people who are already in the ministry, who understand what's important, who know what questions to ask. So I want to tell you something. You may already have your degree. As a matter of fact, most of the people that went through our school already had degrees that had already been in the ministry. But they said, you know what? I want to find out how to be more effective in my community. I want to find out how to build healthy believers. Check us out online, Impact International School of Ministry. You can do it all right from your office. You know, this whole thing about faith, remember, and I'm going to say this over and over again, it all starts with your personal trust with God. You know, so many times, man, we jump out, we want to believe for these big miraculous things, and we're just not even sure that God loves us consistently. Listen, until you believe that God is faithful and consistent in His love, you will never be sure. You'll never feel safe. You know, it's like a little kid that has an explosive parent. They never know if they should ask. Can they spend the night somewhere? Should they ask for some extra money on their allowance? They're never knowing. And they're always trying to read what the parent is sending out to them in signals. That's kind of the way we are with God. But the only problem is we're not really reading His signals. It's all of the emotions that are stirred within us because of guilt when we have failure in our life, because of religion, because of strange, goofy beliefs. Let me tell you something. If you've never settled this issue about God being good all the time, please get my book, The Gospel of Peace. Read that book from cover to cover. And then as soon as you read that book, read Grace, the Power to Change. Grace and peace are the two cornerstones of all of the six foundations of faith that bring us to the place to understand who God is, why we can trust Him. And once you settle this thing about God being a good God, then you're ready to start dealing with these issues in the invisible world. And here's the great thing. This helped me so much. You know, the Bible says that by faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God so that the things which are seen were made of things which are invisible. You know, in the miraculous, we are not trying to believe for something to be created from nothing. In the miraculous, we are simply attempting to believe in something that we can't see with our physical eye. Now, next week, you're going to learn about persuading your heart. You're going to learn about coming to the place to where you can see things with the eyes of your heart. But it was such a relief to me to realize I'm not trying to create something with my faith. God's already created. This is something that's already done. All I'm trying to do is lay hold to it, perceive it, get in touch with it. And once I get in touch with it and it becomes a reality that I can perceive inwardly, then I'm going to be immovable no matter what I see with these eyes. So establish what you believe about God and then realize you're just laying hold to what God's already done.
Thanks for listening to the weekly Impact Ministries World Changers podcast with Dr. Jim Richards. If you like what you've just heard, we encourage you to share our web address, www.impactministries.com, with friends and colleagues. Be sure to check out the resources section of our website for previous podcasts and our videos. Join us next week for another great message by Dr. Jim Richards.